You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the second hour of Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, here with the incredible Greg Bach. We are Bach in the dock, filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back on Monday. Later this hour, we're going to be visiting with De Pere School Board candidate and Motherhood for Good ambassador, Colleen Nowak. We're doing a big Motherhood for Good push today because they are. They're just so good.
They're Motherhood for Good.
Their motherhood for good. And you know, that conversation with Andy in our last segment, He just explains things. He's so knowledgeable and so thoughtful about his approach to school funding. We take these business professionals in our schools for granted because it just kind of happens for us as citizens. But man, so smart, so visionary, and you know, really grateful to him for spending some time with us this morning to teach us a little bit about how our schools are funded and how the Department of Education changes may impact us here in our communities in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. You know, we should be funding schools well and making sure they're great places for learning and, you know, not slashing and burning them down and diverting their money towards other things, if you will.
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting to hear that this is the money that feeds our students and that is that's fundamental. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you have to be fed in order to be able to do anything else. So, yeah, really important stuff. Hey, y'all, you're welcome to join the conversation anytime. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app and comment on the live stream on YouTube. And hey, it is 7:08, and guess who we're welcoming back this morning after her Super Bowl Monday day off? It's Brittany Merlot, everybody.
Wow. Hey, good morning.
Were you partying it up on Sunday, Brittany?
You'd say that, I guess. I really took a really long road trip, honestly.
There you go.
I went all the way to Michigan. So I went down south, saw some family, went to Michigan, saw some friends that were all meeting there, and then drove all the way back. But I had to leave during Saturday's snowstorm. So I drove through that. Yes. And then last night, through the cold front. So a lot of snow out on the roads and even more on the way this week.
Girl, you should have checked the weather before you went.
I know, right? Of all people.
Well, then once you hit Milwaukee, you're like, oh, it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of, temperatures across the state are so crazy this morning. We're from 22 below into Hayward to 20 degrees into Kenosha. It's a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, make it better. Fix it.
Yeah,
where's
do
your
something.
Wand?
Yeah. You're the wizard of weather.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to request then. Snowstorm after snowstorm, like tomorrow and then Friday.
This is like when you get the genie bottle and you wish for something. They're like, yeah, sure. And then they use the words against you and you're like, ah, darn it.
Yep. That just happened. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're actually in a winter storm watch right now, Greg, down south. Areas from Sheboygan to Milwaukee all the way to Janesville. And that's for tomorrow, where a good 4 to 9 inches of snowfall is possible.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Wait, 4 to 9
You're
going to
get your snow. Yeah.
I didn't order it. I'm not a fan of snow.
But, I mean, we've got all these snow blowers and shovels that we need to start using.
Yes.
I mean, wasted money if we don't, right?
I will say this. I love that the areas that need snow, the use it for sports, use it for business. I'm so happy they're finally getting it because last year it was a disaster. But I don't have a ski resort at my house. I don't. Take my snow, please. Thank you very much. Oh, yes.
I feel like there could be an exchange here. Like Brittany would be happily take all of your snow and leave you with the no snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Deal. Done. Shake hands. There we are. Fine.
Oh, it seems like the South is becoming the new north.
Was that now?
You know, the state's pretty calm. It's just like going through this big high pressure system and then another low following it every other day. So it's going to get breezy too. On Thursday, we're going to have some wicked wind chills once again. Temperatures staying pretty cold. I mean, highs today into central Wisconsin are only going to be in the single digits. Well, down south, yeah, you'll hit the 20s, but still that's crisp out there. And then tomorrow we slide to highs only in the teens to single digits statewide. And that stays the case for the rest of the week too. So some pretty crisp, cool air, wind chills, snow, a brutal February. Of course, it always really settles in when we're kind of getting tired of it a little bit. But, you know, we do need it. We are in a snow drought still, regardless, even after last or over the weekend.
We are halfway through winter.
We are.
Yeah.
And bright side.
And I was saying before is that I feel like February is the pinnacle of where it can all be just, oh, you know, like really... Yeah. Hard. And I even like with the snow more with the cold. The cold always seems to hit the worst in February now. And then when you make it through and you hit March, you're like, all right, you know it's going to get better. You know you're going to have some cold days in March. You know there might be snow in March, but you also know that the next month after that is April. And then May, and you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. And then you get people saying, it's so hot out. You're like, yeah. I can't win. This is just welcome to Greg's month by month whining grandpa marathon.
I love it when you see in the spring, it's like 30 degrees outside, but people are so desperate to wear like short sleeves and shorts that you see these folks and you're like, that's how I know I live up north.
Have ourselves, of course, the weather report from Tigerton. Rob from Tigerton saying, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 2 degrees above zero with a wind chill of 8 degrees below zero. He goes on to say, yesterday I had to plow my sister Lori's driveway out there out with a tractor with the front end loader broke down. Her favorite brother came to the rescue. He says, thank you, Kristen, for sharing my pictures on your social websites. It's very appreciated. And he also says, what else? He goes, Brittany, I hope you are feeling better, and thank you for helping make February normal Wisconsin winter. And snowmobile trails in western Shawnee County are open as of yesterday morning. It's just as always, Rob from Tigerton sharing love. And for me, most importantly, he says, when I think of Weird Al, I think of the old Dr. Demento radio shows that used to air on WSPT radio in Stevens Point. Fun fact, Weird Al Yankovic was the very first live concert I saw. He opened for the Monkees in 1986. And that was the Like a Surgeon tour.
Where did you see that?
The Marcus Amphitheater.
I went to that show in Green Bay.
Nice. Yep. It was the 20th anniversary of the Monkees. They were touring on their album Pool It. My God. But yeah, that was my, I remember seeing it and he did the surgery on stage. I'm like, this seems weird. And I loved it.
Oh
yeah.
So. My gosh. Okay then. Well, Brittany, thanks for hanging out with us.
Of course. You guys have a good day. Stay warm and get ready for the snow.
Thank you, DJ Flip Mix.
Yeah.
Oh, we love Brittany's weather report.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, let's talk a little bit just briefly about sports, because I just want to remind you one more time that Greg ruined the Bucks last night.
What did I do?
Jinxing them, talking about Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Bucks lost to Marquette. Sorry, to Golden State.
Thanks.
Steph Curry had a season-high 38 points. But, you know, you can redeem yourself because, you know, there's another game coming up. And tomorrow, Marquette is playing. Number 18, Marquette takes on DePaul. Number 16 Badger men play number 7 Purdue on Saturday. That's going to be a game.
I didn't tell you this. On Sunday, I watched some college hoops. And I was very interested. I was kind of fascinated. I don't watch a lot of basketball. For me, okay, for those who don't know, baseball is my sport. I love baseball, and I'm a big fan of tennis. Those are my two sports. Basketball, I'm trying to get more into because there's so many people into it, and I know that when you work in radio, there's going to be conversations about, especially when you live in Wisconsin, football conversations, and they're going to be
got to keep up.
So I was watching, you know, the Wisconsin Badgers play on Sunday, and I'm like, this is very entertaining and fun to watch. I found myself watching it, not just like peering over to look at the score.
College basketball is so different than professional basketball, too.
Very much so.
I find it very entertaining.
Yeah. What makes it entertaining for you? Like, what's the key difference for you with college basketball?
It's less of this polished, like, pass and score, and it's more scrappy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, I also love all the, you know, I was a mascot, and so I love the band and the cheerleaders, and it's less of a production, and it just feels more like you're part of it.
Yeah, okay. I remember I went to a Bucks game, and I felt like it was so regimented. Like, they're like, here's the game. Here are all the games we're playing between the breaks and all this. I'm like, it felt like a show. It felt like a concert almost, where everything was, you know, scheduled down to the moment. And the basketball was just a part of it, you know. It was sort of like interwoven in it. But the I would go see a college game. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you definitely should. Badger games are a blast. Yeah. And Bucks games, you have to be really like careful about when you choose to go to the bathroom during the game, because there's always something happening. You're going to miss something.
Well, also, I mean, I think I'd like to believe that a Badger game is going to be cheaper than a Bucks game. But then again, if it's at the Pfizer. Who knows? But I got to support the Panthers because I am a UW-Milwaukee graduate. So go Panthers.
Go Panthers. Hey, you want to talk about a headline that I saw yesterday that I find very entertaining?
Yes.
Did you happen to see the legislation that Mark Pocan introduced last week in the style of Doge and the spirit of democracy? It's called the Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy Act. Yeah, the acronym is the Elon Musk Act. And it was, it's so good. It's so good. It is intended to ensure transparency and honesty in government spending. It would direct federal agencies to terminate any contracts held by a special government employee, similar to the bans on receiving contracts, because members of Congress can't do this kind of inside stuff. You know, folks who work for the federal government can't do this inside stuff, but somehow Elon Musk can't. So Mark Pocan has introduced this legislation, and it's pretty fun.
Well, we will definitely be talking to Mark Pocan about that, because he's going to be on Matt and Aaron Air next Tuesday at 10:30. So this will definitely be brought up in conversation, because that's one of the things I love about Congressman Pocan, is that he's an amazing legislator, and he just doesn't take guff. He's also just he himself is scrappy, I believe. He's a scrappy gentleman, and he has fun with what he does. And there's a chef's kiss.
Yes. Well, and, you know, recognizing that last year, Elon Musk spent more than $250 million to help elect Donald Trump, and he has become $154 billion richer since then, a 600-time return on investment. So I love that Mark Pocan is putting it out there, and he's making it interesting so people will pay attention because, folks, it's our democracy that's at stake here. So really appreciate him. But, hey, we're going to be back in two with more headlines, talk about the NIH. And, you know, it's going to be nice. Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Greg and I like to keep it classy here on Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's Mascarenhada from Brazilian jazz great Sergio Mendes, born on this day in 1941, passed away last September. You know, Pat actually plugged this song in, and I thought, I'm not going to know what this song is, but I definitely do know what that song is.
Absolutely. Yep. It's in all those sexy swinging 60s movies, and then anything making fun of it, you know.
Right.
It's that, it's like, ooh, sexy party.
All right. We're going to just take a little bit of a turn from sexy party to NIH funding.
Which in itself can be a sexy party if you want. It can be a sexy party. So,
I mean, no, probably not.
Okay, fine.
So I think it's really important to talk about this. And this is a serious subject. Because what we have seen is, I mean, there's been a barrage of stuff coming from, you know, from Washington, D.C., and it's been very chaotic. But this is something that really affects Wisconsin deeply and has long-lasting potential for very negative impact. So here's the deal. The National Institute of Health, the NIH, last week issued a directive to change the rate at which federal grants are funded. So this is a change in reimbursement for both existing and ongoing research. It went into effect on Monday, and it's one of, as you know, DOGE's many federal efforts to cut costs, which, you know, cutting costs is, it's always smart to be efficient. That's true. But in this situation, they're using a machete when they should be using a scalpel. And I'll explain why. So the day after this directive was published, the UW issued the following statement, and it's so precise and impactful that I'm going to read the whole thing. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is one of the world's leading engines of biomedical research. This proposed change to NIH funding, UW-Madison's largest source of federal support, will significantly disrupt vital research activity and delay life-saving discoveries and cures related to cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and much more. In addition, these reductions will have an inevitable impact on student opportunities to engage in research activities from undergrads to PhDs and medical students. Medical innovation will be slowed, delaying the creation of new treatments, new technologies, and new health workers. The so-called indirect costs go to support many aspects of the educational and research work of the university. Indirect costs contribute to everything from utilities charges to building up the laboratories where science is done to infrastructure for clinical trials of new medicines and new treatments. Drastic reduction to this funding will not only disrupt the day-to-day important work of the university, but will ultimately harm the livelihoods of real people across Wisconsin and the country. It will harm the innovation economy, and it will make our nation less competitive. And I love the emphasis that they put on the on students, on technology, on the cost, the financial cost, the impact on our health, because all of these things are so true. And it's not just the UW that's pushing back, of course. Many other research organizations have pushed back. The American Association of Medical Colleges, the American Council on Education, the Association of American Universities, and many more. As I said earlier, part of the Musk and Trump initiative to cut costs may sound good and may even look reasonable on paper. As I was reading it, the way it's written sounds like kind of logical. But, you know, there's always more to the story. The directive that the NIH issued acknowledged that these indirect costs are really difficult to assign at the project level, because it's things like lab time, technology, data processing, security, patient safety, so much of that infrastructure stuff that isn't just assigned to one project, but is assigned to lots of different projects. Lots of different labs use this infrastructure. And this is the infrastructure that you have to have if you're going to do the research. You can't just walk in with a bunch of test tubes and do some research in your kitchen. You know, you need all of the other stuff as well. And the other problem with the NIH funding is the NIH statement is they compare this federal funding with private grant funding like the Gates Foundation. And they note that indirect costs are significantly less with private funding. So the goal that they have is to cut costs to be consistent with private funding. But the comparison is highly problematic because the two are vastly different. The budget methodology between private and federal funding is totally different. Even within different private funding sources, they have different ways that they allocate these funds. And many of the expenses that would end up in this indirect category, all that infrastructure stuff with federal funds, end up in the direct category with the private funds. Plus, private funds are only about 6% of the R&D dollars overall that we use for research in this country. And often the things that they fund are really different. So for example, the Gates Foundation really focuses on Africa and developing countries. really different from the lab research that we're doing here at the University of Wisconsin to find a cure for Alzheimer's and so many other things. So these reckless cuts are based on flawed assumptions. They will result in short and long-term harm to the people and institutions of our state, which ranks sixth nationally for research expenditures. The UW is a huge research school, sixth in the country. $1.7 billion in 2024, half of which comes from federal and institutional funds. Some of the projects that these things fund, a $29 million award that treats and studies causes of blindness. A nearly $20 million award to pursue innovations to help Wisconsin's dairy industry. A $15 million award for the College of Engineering to fund pioneering efforts to understand, detect, and prevent traumatic brain injuries. I mean, UW Solution, the reason we can even do transplants in this country, was funded by these kinds of grants. So while this might look like a cost-cutting effort on its surface, the people of Wisconsin will end up paying in the short and long term, with far-reaching consequences for our state and local economies, as well as, perhaps most importantly, our health. Fortunately, Attorney General Call and Governor Evers have gotten behind this multi-state initiative to push back on this directive. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We're fighting for it. But this NIH funding, very concerning. So thanks for listening to my soliloquy. Appreciate you all. Yeah, but we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about public education with Colleen Nowak, candidate for DePere School Board. I'm Kristen Lyerly. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media. Howling at the moon, riding her a tune, so much to let go, so much to hope for. Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach on the board. It's 7:34 on Tuesday, February 11th. You like that song?
I love that song. Thank you so much for playing it.
Oh, of course. So that's the Twins of Franklin out of Minneapolis with To the Moon. You can find them wherever you get your music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I personally discovered them when I was talking with our next guest, who happens to be the sister of one of those twins. Colleen Nowak, welcome to Civic Media Morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
That's my sister Laura and her friend Becky. They're not actually twins, believe it or not. One is my sister, so I lend her to Becky every once in a while to play in their band, the Twins of Franklin. So go check them out.
Yeah, and they're making quite a splash in Minneapolis. They've got a bunch of tour dates coming up. So yeah, check them out on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. A little bit more about Colleen. She's a mom with young kids. She is a fellow healthcare provider, physical therapist. And when the need became apparent in her community, she banded together with others to organize and create a strong foundation for her local school district. Since that time, she's recognized that it's her turn to step up and lead in a different way. And I'm so excited to support her candidacy for public office. She's running for the first time for public office ever in her life for DePere School Board. Colleen, how did this journey begin for you?
Thanks for having me. My journey began in 2023. My son was in 4K and our school district held a 10-year strategic planning program called Flight Path 2033. And it brought together a group of just community members, teachers, admin, students, and even like business owners and just people around our community. And it brought us all together to make this strategic plan and really make our top 10 priorities. And it was a whole long weekend and some really amazing conversations. And the best part was, I mean, they brought down like all the barriers. We're not talking politics. This is just what are our priorities, just people to people. And that program really inspired me I was already very invested in our schools, having three kids that will be in our district, but I like working together and creating consensus among our community. It felt amazing to work that way with people and our teachers and admin. So leading from that, it kind of led us to work on, we have a lot of buildings that are getting too small for our population. So we're needing to look at what we're going to do about that. So I was on a facilities planning committee, and that led to our referendum committee. I was a part of a parent vote yes group called Unified for the Kids of De Pere. So and that brought us to now school board. I started attending a lot of our school board meetings just to help promote and get the information out there why we need these referendums, and be the voice that, you know, our district can't tell people how to vote. They can just share the facts. So just being able to be the voice out in the community and educating our neighbors and community members who don't step foot in our schools necessarily. It's important for them to hear from parents why it is that we need to fund our schools and support our staff.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And our schools are the foundation of our communities. Whether you have kids in school or not, these kids, these teachers are their employees. They are the people who are working in the restaurants that serve you. They are the people who are going to grow up and create the future. In this district, in this area especially, people tend to stay here for generations. I mean, yeah. I'm wearing my proud Kakana ghost shirt because I was in Kakana yesterday at a listening session with my representatives. But, you know, we, generation after generation, are investing in each other. And in this region, more than any other part of Wisconsin, we're growing the future. And that's exactly what you did with this strategic planning. Talk a little bit about some of the, how this work that you've done has helped you as a mom and a community member and somebody who may have been feeling kind of frustrated about what was going on, how you were able to channel your energy into this positive, good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I have to say, I was an anxious person in 2016, and I just wanted to get out and do something. It was, and then the pandemic happened, and I was feeling frustrated. I, at that time, was a physical therapist in a nursing home in a senior community, so I was touched every day by the pandemic, and I finally got to a point. Now, it wasn't immediately, because sometimes when you're a parent, and especially a mom, I have to say, when you're in the throes of motherhood, you can't necessarily take the time to do everything. So we can't do run for school board at every stage of our life. That, you know, that it took until my oldest is now 8 to feel like I can do that, or even to work with this referendum group. But it finally got to a point where I did have the time and was able to start meeting with other people and working and taking the time to go to this flight path and go to different planning committees and the school board meetings and things like that. So, but it definitely has helped my mental health to be able to do things, to talk to people. I think being able to talk to our teachers and admin and other community members, I think, just like you said, there's so many alumni in our area, and it's really fun to hear about their experiences in our high school. Then they're talking about how the high school looks exactly the same as they went to high school. So helpful to hear those stories. But people are so proud of our community, and being able to talk to people has even driven me more to be able to get out there and support our schools and the people within them. But yeah, it's helped to create more community. And like just this weekend, I was able to get some other families together and just have conversations. I did an event at our local Paint Your Own Pottery place, Paint and Pottery, and just to be able to talk, like, let's just get together, have the kids do some crafts and talk about what's on your heart, what's on your mind. And just being able to get out of the house to do that is important too for our mental health. But I think that's just being able to talk it out with other people and be heard has been very helpful. So I would encourage people, you know, if you have community, even if it's just texting, even if it's sending some voice memos, like just being able to get that out is important for us.
right? You don't have to run for school board, although you are. No. And you're running uncontested, which means that you don't have to do anything. I mean, you are going to be elected, but you're still out there talking with people, uplifting people, because that's your heart. And I think for a lot of us, you know, you spoke about how do you channel your anxiety into something positive? It doesn't have to be running for school board. It could be joining a group, an Indivisible group, a community conversations group. You could hop on board with the Mommy AF folks. We're going to talk with Andrea Fanta tomorrow. It's really just finding that sense of community, of support, and then growing out from there. And another thing that you mentioned, and it's something that when you find that sense of support, you're enhancing your mental health. And mental health was a giant priority when you worked on the strategic visioning for the De Pere School District. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing across the district and how this came to be a priority for us?
Yes. So we got together again. That was 2023 when we were meeting for that 10-year plan committee or program. And we, it was that voted number one of our priorities. So I think that's really helped to drive when we were doing our operational referendum, where those fundings, what we're pushing for. And we were able to now hire another school psychologist and another school social worker. I think we're definitely making moves in the right direction. And I think we just need to continue to work that way and push for more mental health support. But I was able to meet with our teachers union last week. We did our forum last week. And one thing that they were touching on is their mental health. And I, as a person who works and just a human being, you know, we all have our struggles with mental health, but mental health in the workplace is important too. And I really want to prioritize their mental health as well so that they have balance, because just like parents' mental health reflecting upon our children, the same thing's going to happen with our teachers and our kids, or admins and the kids that are in the school. We need them to feel balanced. And I know I need breaks. I need to be able to have balance in my daily life. So we need to have, you know, substitute teachers so that they can go out and have the day off that they deserve without feeling extremely guilty that they didn't have a substitute teacher behind and, you know, classes were combined. Or we need to have the support day to day. One thing that I work on in my healthcare provider, in my role now, we have a care for the caregiver program, which is a peer support program. And I told the teachers, this is not to just like put a band-aid on the situation. This isn't the only thing I would suggest, but just something that I found helpful personally is being able to just have a peer support group where we can just talk it out, because sometimes you do just need to have a safe place to vent, but then also an opportunity to then get the support that you need, so that if you need to get mental health support, or if you need some more information of what the district does provide as far as mental health support, they have the opportunity to hear that.
That's so important. There are other opportunities or other challenges, priorities that you identified with Flight Path. What were some of the other things that you are going to be focusing on in the future as an elected school board member?
We have our, we have limited space right now. So we will be looking in the future at possibly building another high school. We need to look at where that would go, what that would look like. And, but otherwise, we also are just looking at support for the students, looking at more trade-focused classes and what kind of variety of classes that we'll have. We have a great youth apprenticeship program, so I think working with our community members to expand that will be amazing. And something I learned this year is they're actually healthcare apprenticeships, and I met a new babysitter.
Oh, that's amazing. Look at how that happened.
I know. So that is really not my running for school board, but.
way to find new babysitters. It highlights how interconnected everything is. And we mentioned this earlier, but we have to connect our schools with the people in our communities. We have to bring our communities into our schools and foster that that mutually supportive relationship. So in the minute or so that we have left, what are some ways that you envision bringing schools and communities together?
Yes. So I would love to do some more of these community conversations. With the referendums that we recently had, we were able to do some forums in our communities, in our town, town halls and things like that. So I think doing that, but then, I have big ideas that I have not passed a board or any admin where we could, have our summer school classes and maybe have more access to community members to some of those classes. I know that I have told our history teacher that I would love to audit some of his classes.
Oh, fun. Yes.
Stuff like that. But I think also just being able to connect more with our community through our sports, through our music, things like that. So more outreach that way would be amazing.
Fantastic. Colleen Nowak, candidate for DePere School Board, Motherhood for Good Ambassador. If listeners want to know more about you or support your campaign, how can they find you?
They can find me at www.colleen4dp.com. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Colleen4dp. So find me on all the socials and the website.
Fantastic. And I'll post it on my social. We'll have it in the show notes too. Colleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you again for having me.
You bet. We'll be back in a couple minutes with a preview of the shenanigans we have planned for tomorrow. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is your earworm for the day. You like it?
It's fantastic. I mean, you can't not sing this song when you hear it.
It is one of my favorite car songs. It was released on this day in 1983, so we're pulling all the history through the whole show today.
There is a video of this song. Someone all the way to write a song parody of this where all they do is shot for shot describe the video of this song. And it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I will send it to you.
I would like to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the meantime, I will continue to keep this on my playlist because it is one of my favorite car songs to sing. Do you have a favorite car song to sing?
It varies. We're honestly, right now, it's Kendrick Lamar, They Not Like Us. I cannot stop listening to
that
song.
Do you sing it?
Well, I mean, as many of the words as I know and the words that I am willing to say out loud, yes, but I don't. I will say my singing car song is, oh my gosh, I've sung it like a billion times. Hold on one second. It's a Brad Paisley song.
Dust on the... Mud on the tires?
No.
I is that what it's called? I don't even know.
You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would not be the song that I would pick out for you as your favorite singing.
Yeah, just listen to the song once. You're like, I belt that song out. I love that song.
I have a whole playlist that's called Schmaltz. And those are all the songs that I like to sing in the car.
We all have
them. And I sing them.
We all have our private personal mobile karaoke list.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good for. I find that when I can sing like that, it makes me feel better. It's one of those things. Yeah. You got to find that stuff in your day that makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
For some reason, singing like that makes me feel good. Although I don't do it well, and I try to do it when I'm not bothering anybody else.
Totally Midwestern. I'm sorry, my singing was bothering you.
Yeah, I know. So what's coming up on Civic Media later today? What are you and Jane going to talk about?
Oh my gosh, we got so much going on. There is so much going on today. It's a packed day on the network itself, but we have, let's see here, what do we got going on? Today is, Todd Alba is going to be on the show at 10:30, the very wonderful, very excellent. If you're ever talking to Todd, just tell him he's great and watch him start blushing. He can't take a compliment. He'll be on from 10:30 to 11. We always have a Civic Media guest on Tuesday at 10:30. He'll be talking about the news of the week so far. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to have Matt King, who's from the Hunger Task Force, talking about their mobile market, which allows a mobile grocery store to go to food deserts around the area. And then, of course, rounding out the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:50. So you want to tune in for that. We're on from 10 a.m. to noon.
I love This Shouldn't Be a Thing because it makes me think about things that shouldn't happen and go, what?
Well, and that's the funny thing, too. We get, you know, that one is always for us going to be lighter, fun. Nice. We want you to leave the show with a smile, but people will send us ones and be like, this is, they'll be like, something that some politician's doing or some horrible weather thing. We're like, we don't want to bum people up at the end of the show.
That's what the beginning of the show is about.
Exactly. We want to bum people out at the beginning of the show.
I mean, there's a lot going on in the world that we have to talk about.
Absolutely. But
we do need some lightness.
What is coming up tomorrow for you?
Well, we are going to focus on small business. We've got Mark Becker from Rational Revolution. He's going to be my co-host. And then Michelle Tressler, who is the co-founder of Hinterland. She's also a board member with Alliance. She's going to talk about like a 10,000 foot view of what's happening with small businesses here in Wisconsin. And then Andrea Fanta, who is the Mommy AF founder.
Yep.
She has taken this support group and she has turned it into a brick and mortar place where she's inviting people to come in. And it's a space where they can sell their things and build their community in a very like almost like a micro business kind of way.
Nice.
So really looking forward to those conversations tomorrow. And of course, music. Of course, history. The usual stuff.
And us, Bach and the Doc.
Bach and the Doc. Wait, I don't think we have another Doc tomorrow, though, for the first time this week.
Then it's just Bach and the Doc, not Bach and the Docs.
Yeah, that's less competition for me.
There's only one Doc in my heart. Well, actually, that's not true. I got a couple, but that's fine. You're fantastic. You're definitely top seven.
Could I be at least your favorite gynecologist?
Yes, done. Well, oh gosh, Dr. Kreitlow, Dr. Hanks.
What about Hanks? I know. You have a lot of gynecologists in your life. Do you think that that's unusual?
And trust me, you've taught me so much. And I mean that for real. The things that I've learned about things, I have nothing but gratitude for the things that you and Dr. Hanks have told us over the, told me and us over the years. Really informative, helped inform my opinions on things, not just making me, you know, it's easy to have a, like I believe in abortion access, but why do you? And then, you know, like, the reasons why is, you know, you helped deepen those strengths and those beliefs.
Well, and, you know, abortion is such a small part of what we do and what we talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's so much more, which is why... Public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks is such a blast to listen to.
It's great. We love that. We can't wait to have her back. She's wonderful. We miss her face dearly. And I believe you're coming on the show next week as well. Am I correct or no?
Sure.
I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, no. Actually,
I always show up.
Oh, no. Actually, it is going to be a public service announcement with Dr. Hanks. We're so excited. Okay. It's an embarrassment. Let's get out of here.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks to Andy Weiland and Colleen Noah. Greg, thanks for being amazing. I so appreciate you.
Thank you for being awesome.
Yeah, we'll see y'all again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Focus on small business. But until then, get out there and do some good.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.